All right. Welcome back to another episode of The Crease Dive. Today is Thursday, March 28th in the year 2024. I'm Diggs. I'm joined by always by intern Matthew Nessler. Matt, how's it going?
Feeling good, baby. Wearing the Cabrini blue. It's game day. Staying loose. Some good lacrosse going on right now. Is that Duke-Boston University game's going on. But can't complain. March Madness starts back up tomorrow. I'm easy. What about you, Dukes?
Yeah. As we're recording this, it's Wednesday. 2:15, it's the fourth quarter of Duke. Playing in a bad weather matchup, so you'll kind of get a live reaction to that game as we go. But let's just dive into kind of what happened in this week in lacrosse. First and foremost, I think that we just have to start. Brown, when playing with Larkin Kemp in attendance, unless he went yesterday to Villanova, but I doubt it. 1-0. They beat UMass. So shout out to Larkin Kemp for doing his part, going to the game, getting their first win of the season against UMass, the Drip King. I saw some controversy over this, that he got flagged for having an illegal stick. I think we just talked about this on the last episode with Tillman. I'm okay with it. I'm okay for Mike Daly checking the stick. Anything to help the team. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't think you should be able to stick check Fogos. Mostly because
that's crazy.
I just don't think. I'm sorry. I don't think you should be able to call out a Fogo after a faceoff and have a stick checked, because they're getting their sticks checked by the refs before the game. The refs are right on top of their sticks. If there's something wrong, I think it's occurring in the faceoff. I actually think that kid might have gotten the penalty for touching his stick before giving it to the official. I saw a comment from him saying that, went back a few minutes later, that comment was gone. So Drip King's either deleting comments or someone from the team told him to take it down. It was right after the game. I know he was in the locker room, just right on his phone, so pissed. But, yeah, he got a goal taken off, minute penalty, and that was it. They lost by one.
If I had to rank illegal sticks for who most likely is going to have an illegal stick, it's Fogo's number one.
In what way?
Seventh grade.
Are you saying the head's going to be illegal?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like that's going to happen no matter. Your stick's going to bend right off the faceoff if you give it to an official after that. I feel like.
I don't trust Fogos.
What'd you say?
I don't trust Fogos.
I don't either. I mean, I guess what I said.
We're probably always trying to bend and break the rules. Rules are always changing for them. So I get it, but it doesn't surprise me that the Drip King has an illegal stick.
Yeah, we might need him to reach out to us to confirm whether it was actually illegal.
That's like having your nickname in sports being legitimately at Alabama last year, being the killer. And then all of a sudden, oh, that guy was a murderer? That's crazy. The Drip King having too much drip or trying to do too much with a stick makes too much sense.
That's good stuff there, Dukes. That's funny.
You're really laughing hard at that one. You're that's good stuff. I don't know.
It felt good.
Yeah, I think that that was a big controversy in that game. But then bigger story. We called it the day before. Number one Army down. Not even really a game. I mean, a little bit of a comeback in the fourth, but BU 14, Army 9. Any thoughts and takeaways from that? What was your big takeaway? Is it more on BU is good, more on Army is not that good? Where did you stand?
Listen, I respect the troops. I think it's safe to say the Army's not the best team in the country. I don't see Virginia or Syracuse dropping that game. I don't see Notre Dame dropping that game. However, shout out the troops. I think they have a really good lacrosse team. We're going to see them in May. And we kind of noted a little bit before the game, Boston University is sneaky. And I don't know if they're just sneaky because I was so high on them week one when they came out and beat St. Joe's and haven't really seen or heard much from them since. But watching some of this Duke game, Boston University can play lacrosse. So I think it says a little bit more about Boston and a little bit, just a little less about Army. But I still think Army's up there. I just think we can take them out of the best in the country kind of three or four teams, in my opinion.
Yeah, so my take on it is I think that BU is going to be like Michigan last year, one of those teams that's been just waiting to finally break through and to finally have like a good push, some good years in the Patriot League, some number one finishes, some like championship game appearances. But I truly think BU is on the precipice of becoming an elite program. And by elite, I mean mainstay in the tournaments, you know. I think they could be a sneaky Final Four team this year.
Really? Wow.
Not even like this year, just in general, the next couple of years, like one of those Rutgers teams that I'll be just knocking on the door. Like, I have way more faith in BU making a Final Four than I do about like a team like Georgetown.
That's fair. I mean, I just think there's, like we said, I think there's those two or three teams we kind of feel like we know are going to be in there. And then I just think that four spot at Final Four weekend is going to be up for grabs, maybe a little May Madness. I just think the talent's very, very, very distributed this year, and there aren't four teams for a fact that are like, all right, those four teams are going to roll. I think a team like BU making run would be a lot of fun to watch. So I'll get in your bandwagon there.
I'm a BU guy. I think that they have good shit going on up there. I think that they're like not even on the board. I just think they're just like about to break through. Like they, it's one of those programs that's just dying to just knock on the door and just break through to become like the next step up. Just skimming by some games that like we care but don't really care. Georgetown kind of slapped Richmond 14-8. Am I getting nervous? No. Is Richmond playing for Final Fours? No. So what do I have to be nervous about? But yeah, was wrong on that game.
Yeah, we were both.
But that was also, like I said, I mean, it's like you could put NJIT against Georgetown, taking the Highlanders.
Yeah, I'm loyal to the Spiders. Before I even got the word spider out of my mouth, you were on them. You were the second it processed through your head that they were playing Georgetown. You're like, well, I'm on the Spiders. So it's safe to say Dukes is going to be going against those Hoyas a lot.
Well, because I was wrong. Like, I thought Georgetown was them for so long. Like,
I put my
reputation on the line for Georgetown. And it's just like the Jay Caraway years. I love Caraway, but like, you know, getting smacked by Virginia, that hurt. That hurt, yeah. Being in the corner and then, you know, just been like knocking. Like, I'm just sick and tired of the talk. But I think that like after this core leaves, like, I mean, like, I think Grant Bundy's really good. Like, I do like Georgetown players. It's more, I just can't take the talk anymore until they walk the walk. That's more like, I'm going to doubt Georgetown from now on until they do it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think just
more than fair.
Being a rider like I am, I think I'm just sort of like sneaky, just rooting against Georgetown with you because like that's what I do. We got no hate, G-Town.
Yeah, no, this is Dukes. It was all love. It was all love. Like, this year, I'm praying on your downfall. this year, I will be praying on your downfall. Next year, we'll see. Send some merch, maybe we'll see. But
I'm a double X.
Looking around a little bit, like nothing too serious. Cornell beat Yale 18-15. Cash that over. Any thoughts on that? Cornell back. Defense is stink.
Defense still not great, but I'd like to roll the tape back last week. I think I asked for 5-3 out of Kirst. He gave me 4-4. When Kirst drops 8 points, Cornell's going to win. At the same time, we saw Cornell was able to win when he puts up 1 point. So Cornell offense, back. Cornell defense, still trying to find their legs. I mean, they've let up a lot of fucking goals this year.
Yeah.
Like, I wish – I'm trying to take just a quick peek. But, yeah.
I mean, you have a new goalie in there, lost a lot of defenders. I mean, I know personally that there's a stud from Garden City on the Cornell defense, but I don't know if he's playing LSM now. I think he's going to be, like – PLL good.
Is it Garden City biased, or is this Duke's insider knowing what he's talking about here?
No, this is it's Brendan Staub.
Okay. Is he a, you say he's a freshman?
sophomore, him and this Cascading kid, who's the one of the Fogos. But yeah, I think Staub in the next couple of years is really going to come on as like an elite defender. I mean, Garden City's had great defenders throughout like the years, but I've always said that like from what I've watched, and like I think he's the best I've seen. So I think he's going to be somebody that's going to have to take the next step up for Cornell, and then he kind of has to fit like that Adler number one role. That's just me personally. I mean, I know nobody else in the Cornell defense. I just know how good he is. So I'll speak highly to him. But yeah, Cornell's kind of got to figure it out on the defensive end. But their offense is obviously their offense. They have weapons all over the place. And Yale will get healthy. And Yale will get healthy.
And do we know what – I know we touched on two of their three top scorers being out. Do we know like what the deal is with them coming back at all? Do you even know if there's a timeline for them to come back?
I'm going to be honest. I'm still kind of in March mode. Like this week just like snuck up on me. So I didn't do too much of like the injury reports and like looking into it. I feel like I saw that they're supposed to come back.
That's the vibe I got, because the way they said it, they're like,
I just don't know the timeline.
They were kind of like, they're not there now, but when they come back, like, yeah, we'll be that much better. But I'm with you. I also am not – I'm not looking at the injury report, so I'm not sure that Yale will be putting any of that out.
Now, we're talking about a team here in the next game. Are we talking bubble report right here? I mean, are they going to even make the tournament? Michigan beats Maryland. Maryland, like, it's tough.
I don't know, Maryland. A lot of games this year that Maryland really hasn't showed up for. The Big Bad Wolf is not so bad anymore, and maybe Michigan tired of just kind of getting rolled over. Like, I mean,
that was one they had to have.
Yeah, if you're Michigan, 100%.
Like, but you can deal with losses. You can deal with losses to Notre Dame and Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like if you're Maryland, that was one you couldn't lose, though. Kind of was like a must win for Michigan, and a can't lose for Maryland. And Maryland got fucked. Wasn't even close, right? What was that final?
In what?
In the Michigan game, 12-11. It was close. Yeah, I forgot they came back at the end.
I see.
When I was watching, Maryland was up a little
bit.
So
Maryland right now, I think this is it. So the RPI. Like, they're 10.
Yeah, I mean.
So they should be, like, they're kind of, like, right on that border. I don't know. I think that was one that they want, they're going to want back. Because now you're looking, you got to beat.
You got to beat
State, Ohio State, Rutgers. I think they have to win out, to be honest, to feel comfortable. I mean, maybe you could drop like, and then like, you could drop one in the tournament if you don't win at all. But like, that loss, like, if you could deal with that loss to Virginia and Notre Dame out of the tournament, but like, you're looking at this. You're looking at a, like, this is just not Maryland that we're used to. You got a one goal win against Brown, who's ending, having a down year. You got a one goal win against Syracuse in overtime, given like Syracuse is at Cuse. And you got a one goal win against Richmond at Richmond. Like,
yeah, it's a lot of one goal wins, and then their two losses against Virginia and Notre Dame, they kind of got punched in the mouth late. It was never even close. What's the deal with the Big Ten tournament? Does every team make it, or do you have to – I forget how that works, because I know there's like two sides to that tournament.
I think every team makes it.
Then like, they're kind of in a spot where like, you know, you got to win, but at the same time, they're like, dude, all we got to do is win the tournament. Like, they're a type of team that could go 2-2 the next few weeks, and I could see them winning the Big Ten. And then the tournament, people picking the teams are putting a fucking hole.
So yeah, well, I think more tournament talk will come in like the next like 2 weeks as resume starts to get solidified. But as we close this out, it's Duke just beat BU 11-10. Good for Duke. They got a win, a little bounce back. I think they got tested. The weather definitely affected the field, the playing conditions, everything. I mean, it's tough. You'd hope to see more after getting shellacked against Syracuse, but it is what it is. Finding a W any way you can is what you need in this time of year.
Yeah, that's a good win. I think BU showed up. That would have been a B would have been on kind of a little bit of a tear there if they were able to bring that one home.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, one game I caught that was like really good was Providence St. Joe's. Just shout out to them. I think St. Joe's is a great program. I think Providence is on the rise with Bobby Benson. I think that they're going to be like one of those like Big East schools that do like slowly climbs. I think they have one of the best offensive minds in the game. So I don't see, like, I'm not shocked by Providence like playing in close games that they weren't used to playing in the past couple of years. So no shock there for me, honestly. Just quick shout out. And then Princeton beat Harvard. They beat my Harvard Crimson. That one was tough. That one was tough. I really thought this was Harvard's year. I mean, I'm like, Sam King is a beast, but I thought Harvard should have gotten this one. I thought they were going to get this one.
Yeah, Princeton seems to sort of like claw around in a lot of games. They lost a couple heartbreakers. They had the big win down in was it UNC or Penn? Did they play? I think it was UNC.
Yeah, and the North Carolina trip.
They played two down there. They won one of them. That's a big one. They lost a heartbreaker to Cornell, so that's big for them. Maybe don't sleep on Princeton in the Ivy tournament. Who knows? The Ivy tournament's going to be fun to watch, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
That's just so many good teams. Teams that, like, have gone and gotten a game where they shouldn't have. So it's like, who's really going to come out on top there will be sweet.
I think that's at Columbia. I think I'm going to go to that. I think the Ivy tournament is going to be awesome. I think it's one of the most intriguing leagues by far this year. It's like, it's weird because you think like the tournament's like bigger than it actually is when you start like looking at teams, but like sometimes teams just get fucked. Like, yeah. You get like,
how many?
Like Michigan last year getting the auto bid, like then like bump someone out. Like, just like teams just can go on tears when like they're out of the tournament. What were you saying?
I was about to say, what's the exact number on auto bids for lacrosse? Because I know it's only 16 make it. So I'll see how many. Nine. It looks like 9 D1 teams will be automatic qualifiers. That opens up 7 at large spots.
Yeah, so it's tough. And like, it is, probably it's, four, three, like I think four of those. Like, I mean, like you could look at 3 or 4 of those just being ACC because ACC doesn't get an auto bid.
Yeah, I mean, that it just seems smaller and smaller every year. I think the D2 one's 32, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it would be better for D1 to expand it, but at the same time, like, I don't know. I like making the playoffs bigger. I think 16 is small, maybe somewhere in between 16 and 32. Again, I'm not the bracket guy. Don't know if that's possible, but I don't know. Maybe a play-in or two. Who knows? Maybe it's something we'll see in the future. Maybe it's something they'll say, shut the fuck up and just deal with it.
Penn State beats Ohio State. Not too surprised, honestly. Hopkins beats Rutgers. Nothing really to include there, I don't think, unless you have anything to add. I mean, I saw some people talking about, like, Russell Melendez, like, falling off a little bit. I didn't catch this game. I was pretty locked in on NCAA basketball. But
I just think the whole offense is better, so it doesn't need to be all on him. I mean, I'm not running a point total on him, so I don't know the exact numbers. But like, the Hopkins offense is better, so why the fuck would it matter if his numbers are worse? Like, clearly, if the offense is playing better, he's probably scoring less. I mean, they have shooters everywhere. I mean, Crowley has those boys buzzing. I mention it like every time we talk about Hopkins. So I mean, maybe it's just less hero ball for him and more wins. I doubt he gives a fuck. So I don't know.
Yeah.
If he has like 4 points this year, then yeah, like then he fell off. But like
he's got nine and six in nine games. 24% yeah, shooting percentage, which isn't like awful. 61% shot on goals, 8 turnovers, 3 ground balls, 2 calls turnovers. I mean,
he's not having. Sort of is what it is. I mean, again.
I mean, yeah, but like it is compared to last year, 53 points.
Yeah, And there's still some time left, but again, I mean, maybe
if he catches 53 points, I'll suck his dick.
No, there's no
chance he's getting 53 points in the next couple of games.
No, I'm with you. I meant like he could go get another 10, 15 points, and then he's at like 30, 35. He's at 16 right now, right? What, four 15, games? Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
15.
I don't know.
15 with four games to play?
I think we could get him to – maybe he'll sneak into 30. I'd like to see him get to 30. That's I'm in his boat now.
All right.
Now I'm keeping a tab on him.
Okay, you best. Then Duke beat Denver 11-7. Forgot that happened.
Yeah, Denver didn't cover. That would have been sick. Kind of knew Duke was going
to. What was the bet there?
You were on the record that. You know, Duke was free money, 3.5. And I was like, I think Denver's free money, 3.5. And I was keeping a close eye on that one. And I was like, motherfucker, Dukes.
Yeah.
I responsibly.
That this is Duke's bounce back. I did bet on Duke. And it was just one of those games where it was just like, it was green. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just like didn't really watch it. Just it was green at the end of the day. I was like, oh, that was cool. Forgot that happened. Let's preview the games a little bit. Let's preview the games a little bit. All right. Saturday, North Carolina Army. Also, let me just say this really quick before we go into North Carolina Army. I was so goddamn right about Bressy. He's firmly on the hot seat. Firmly.
Yeah, people gave you a lot of shit for that.
Yeah.
Like they were no
firmly way. On the hot seat. Like, I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Like, let's just, like, go since the, like, Final Four run. They were 8-6. Wait, so let's go back. Let's go back to the championship. Let's go.
We're going back.
The year after they won it all, 2018, 7-7. 2019, 8-7. 2020, they were really good. 7-0 before the season got canceled. That's when they got Chris Gray. Or maybe the 2021. 2021, they made the Final Four 13-3. Great job. 2022, 8-6. 2023, 7-7. 2024, right now, they are 6-3 with games against Army, Virginia, Cuse, Notre Dame, Duke.
Oh, no fucking – that's their last five.
It's like, in what fucking way are we going to look at this and be like, he's not on the hot seat?
I agree with
you. I said one good year. Like, he had the 2020 COVID year. He was able to get all those guys, to come back. So, like, we could just call 2020, 2021 the same fucking season.
Yeah.
And even in 2017, it took a huge – wait. No, sorry. 2007, wait, it wasn't actually that. 2016 is when they won it. Okay? So 2016, they were 12-6. Like, I'm pretty sure they, like, almost didn't even make the tournament. They had losses to Hofstra, Denver, UMass, Maryland, and Cuse twice. So they had to win. Yeah, like, I remember that being, like, a miraculous one run, whatever. Then 2017, the year after they won it, they were 8-8. So 17-8. Like, it's just like he's a 500 coach.
Yeah, my issue is in the sport of lacrosse, do people get put on the hot? Like, I agree with you. I think you should be. I just don't know in lacrosse, especially if you won a national championship, like even in the last decade. Like, I almost feel like your really? Spot is like locked in.
No, dude. Let me give you a little history lesson. So there's this little school, right? They wear orange and navy blue. They play the stadium with grass. It's called Clockner Field. It's this little state school in Virginia. And they had this coach who won multiple national championships. One of the greatest coaches of all time.
Yep.
Fired. Okay, I hear you. The audio mess up a little bit.
I can hear you. Audio's good on my end.
Maybe it's not good on my side. hear my echo. I don't like this. All right. Now we're good. They fired Starcher. Now we're back. Fired Starcher. Fine. You'd be like, that's a once in a lifetime opportunity. Like that's a once in a blue moon. Let me take you to another small school. It's a school called Johns Hopkins. The best defender of all time coached him for a little bit. Took him to multiple Final Fours, national championships, top of the top. Made a Final Four run in 2015. Fired a couple years ago. Legends. Two of the biggest legends the sport has ever seen, Dom Starcher and Dave Petromella, fired. If you don't think they fired Joe Bresci at fucking North Carolina, where you should be pumping out like Final Fours, you're insane. Let's even go like Desco. Like, I mean, like, I know that situation's like way different, but like, he was somebody that was like, they're like towards the end, like, we haven't made a run in a very fucking long time. So like, I don't know. As small of like a thing of like lacrosse is, like, they'll fire for like those types of schools.
Yeah, I mean, again, I you opened my eyes a little bit. Thank you for the history lesson. You know, I always appreciate a good learning session with Dukes. I'm easy. I just think it's safer than you'd think for them. And I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. Like, you're right about those coaches. Like, those are legends of the game. They've done unbelievable things with the programs they're at. And, like, eventually it was time. But I just don't know. I don't know. I think.
Well, I'll put my balls on the line that they fire him in the next 2 years.
What does that mean? So you're that confident that if they go, like, if they don't make the tournament, you think he's gone?
Dude, it's not like they don't have talent.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot, but are they – yeah. They have talent. They definitely have talent. Maybe they – maybe
they're just right. Should I see a text to some people?
Yeah, shoot a couple texts out. Because maybe it's – like, I think the reason you caught slack wasn't because people think that he sucked, because, like, I think the team has underperformed under him vastly besides a few years here and there.
Hold on. You want to do some math live really quick?
Yeah, I'm mental math guy. What do you need me to do?
All right. 8-8.
8-8. I got you.
Seven and seven.
Okay.
8-7.
23-22.
7-0.
30-22.
13-3.
43-25.
8-6.
51-31.
7-7.
58-38.
And no. And that goes with what I said, 20-21. You're basically 20-3.
And that, yeah. So they're he's 20 games above 500, and that's including that 17 game run where you sort of
right, like which I'm saying, like the 1 year did happen. So I'm not going to take it away from him.
I'm not going to lie. I think he's farther than 500 than we thought, but 58-38 at North Carolina is pretty.
No,
that's a lot of loss.
No. But that's my point is when you look at it like that, when you like just pull out the wins, when you like are like, all right, 2020 they had all the talent, they brought all that talent back. Like if COVID never happened, what happens in 2021? Are they just 500 again? Because like Will Perry graduates, like it's like.
That's a lot of losses, dude. I'm not gonna lie.
All I'm saying is that, like, if you spill it out like that, like, which like some people might do, you might be like tricked by that, being like, "Oh, he's 20 games above 500." But it's like you gotta dig deeper into the numbers. Like, it's not that impressive. That's Spencer National Championship. That's one Final Four. That's one Final Four. Like, let's just look it up. Let's just look this shit up. Let's just keep going with this. This is fucking ridiculous. I'm gonna fire this guy live tonight. That's
it. Dude's passion is on.
Dude, holy shit. What are we doing here? He has one fucking quarterfinals since one quarterfinals. He has two, since the national championship, he has two tournament appearances.
Two?
Yes.
Since 2016 they won it?
Yes, they had 17 and 21. That's it. And that's because they won the fucking tournament in 17.
That's a lot of years without the tournament. I don't know. But yeah. All right. Maybe you're right. If I was a betting man, I'm betting he doesn't get fired. But again, maybe he should be. I'm not the one calling for your head. Dukes is. I want to fire him live. We got to get some UNC alums on the horn. We got to see what they think. Maybe they think there needs to be a change of scenery.
Dude, I doubt it. Like, he got them, like, fucking, like, his half of it. Like, if you do think about it, like, if you came in like, 2013, you saw a championship. If you came in 2017, like, you played in 2017, you saw a Final Four run. Like, the only, like, so, like, at the end of the day, like, it's like a bunch of their alum. Like, when did Brushy start coaching there? Let me see this.
They have that feeling where if you stick it out 4 years.
2009. Like,
you'll get your chance for a run. All right, so he's 15 years in, and he's got one national championship or two?
Dude, he is a bad coach.
Oh, my God.
Dude, what do you think his record in? Oh, my God. What do you think his record is in the ACC?
All time?
Like, yes, from 2009 to 2024.
So it's what, like 6-7 games a year.
Twenty-three and thirty-five.
I overestimated so many more games. Dude, 23 and what?
Shocking.
He's a losing record in the ACC like that. They just get fucking steamrolled.
Dude, I like airdropping. I'm gonna like tweet this and be like, this guy is a bad coach.
From the desk of dude.
How many Final Fours do you think he has?
I'm assuming it's low, so I'm going to say three.
Two.
Two? And one was when they won?
Yes.
I almost
how many first-round exits?
Oh, eight.
Four. Quarterfinals, four. Like,
and then how many times?
From 2009 to 2017, you could make the argument that Joe Brescia was a good coach. You probably would say he's a good coach. In 8 years, made the tournament every year, national champion, three times went to the quarterfinals, made the tournament every year. Like, that's like a good coach. 2018 to 2024. Once. Right? Like, if they don't miss the tournament, 1 year where they made the Final Four. All right, dude, like, that's a bad coach right there. That's a bad coach.
The Tar Heel fans are going to come for you, Dukes. They're going to come for you.
I don't think so, dude. I think people will be on my side. And if they won't, I'll enlighten them. Like, this is like
– I'll enlighten you. Dukes is like the messiah. Who are you reaching out to right now? Or are you tweeting?
I'm just tweeting. I'm like, this is –
but while Dukes is live tweeting, I will
I got it. That's all right. I'm just like, this is crazy shit.
Watching you see all this, like realizing more and more.
Because people like – it's like I just thought it, but then when you really look at the numbers, it's not good.
No, I mean the numbers didn't sound great.
They're not great. They don't even like sound good. They don't look great. They look disgusting. Like, makes you want to fucking throw up. Like, and this is like everyone's like on their knees for this guy, fucking glazing, doing tricks on it for him. Like, Jesus Christ.
That's good stuff, man.
All right. Well, that's all I have on that. Let me look up some games.
Yeah, that's all we got on you.
We're talking about. What game are we talking about? We're talking about North Carolina Army. Who you got? I mean, I have to take Army at this point. Army.
Yeah, I mean, you've never been more in on Army than you are for this game. Do you have a spread there or no spreads yet?
It's in New York, so I can't see.
I'll take North Carolina getting some points there. I think Army's going to win, but I'm assuming North Carolina is going to be getting some.
Yeah, I have Army in that one.
Yeah, I'm just picking against you because I think it's funny.
Yeah. Next game, Michigan at Hopkins. Hopkins minus 2.5. Who you got?
Hopkins minus 2.5. They're going to make it rain on Michigan. Michigan with a big win against Maryland. Time for fucking Crowley and my boy Melendez, my new boy Melendez to make it rain. So
I'm taking the under to 25.5.
Under trade.
Yeah.
Respectful.
Denver, Nova plus 3.5. Who you got?
I like the way Nova's been playing, but I hate that they bought Cabrini, so give me Denver minus 3.5.
All right. I like the way Nova's been playing, and I love that they bought Cabrini.
What the fuck?
Plus 3.5.
Oh, my God. See, that's what's fucked up about Dukes and what's fucked up about Nova. Neither of them care about me.
No. I care about you. I think that Villanova buying Cabrini has made great content for the pod. So I am pro-Nova.
I agree. Could have waited a year or two. It would have been nice to get one or two more years out of this, but –
Think about it. Nobody. I think people care about Cabrini more now than they did when you guys won the national championship.
100%, dude. It's not even close. I've been saying that. Like, there's more eyes and more people are checking on Cabrini than when we won it, the day we won it, and the season after we won it. And that's without a question, dude. Not even.
I didn't know anything about Cabrini when you guys won.
Yeah. I mean, it's a.
I didn't even know you guys really won. I knew, like, that one guy that had that cool story.
Yeah, Timmy Brooks, that's my guy. Shout out Brooks. Yeah. I'm getting him on the pod. But yeah, his story's nuts. He's an absolute legend. But I honestly didn't know what Cabrini was like when I went there. I just like went because my buddy was going. We showed up and just kicked back, relaxed, played some lacrosse, and won an Natty 3 years later. So I wouldn't expect even like an avid like lacrosse guy to kind of know what Cabrini is unless you're like in the weeds with D3. But now everyone fucking knows.
Virginia, Harvard plus 5. Who you got?
Virginia.
Harvard plus 5. Wow. Come on. Wow. Virginia hasn't really like absolutely kicked the shit out of decent teams. I feel like that's a little bit of a high spread for Harvard.
Fair enough. We're a McCabe podcast, so
Yeah, I think Harvard keeps us within the number. This is a big time game for your boy here. Georgetown, Providence plus 8. It's the Friars. I'm fired up about this. I'm absolutely gassed up about this. Friars plus 8. Maybe even a sprinkle on the money line for the boys.
I'm all over plus 8 with you. I think the Dukes Friar connection is one to – it's a great thing to watch. And I think the Friar boys on Twitter, mostly basketball guys – I barely follow college basketball. Those guys are popping up on my Twitter more than anyone in the world. So I'm riding for their lax team. I'm riding with you. Give me plus 8. I'm actually locking that in as my play of the weekend.
Wow.
Yep. 100%.
Folks, you heard it here first.
Go to DraftKings. Bet responsibly.
You heard it here first. Yale, Brown plus 6.5. What's your play?
Give me Brown getting 6.5. Maybe we get Kemp on the horn at the game, and we'll lock that in.
Give me Brown too. I think that they are like the best 1-6 team ever to
play the game in the history of sports.
They'll fight. Like, you can't ask for anything more. Talk about a team that you want to like bet on. Like, that's a team that I'll have in my corner any day. They'll fight for you. They'll fight for that spread.
Yeah, and Yale. I mean, Yale maybe sneaky as a defense problem. They let up a fuck ton of goals too.
Yeah.
And they let up a massive, like the biggest comeback I've seen in years against Penn State. I love Brown.
Yeah, I do too.
We're on it.
Ohio State, Rutgers minus 1.5. Who you got?
I'm taking Rutgers, dude.
Me too.
We are on fire right now, dude. Does Ohio State have a quality win this year? Now that I said that, our bet's fucked, but no, they don't. They've lost every big game they played. Virginia, Cornell, Notre Dame, Denver, Penn State, 5 losses. 5 wins are Cleveland State, Bellarmine, Detroit Mercy, and Utah. So give me Rutgers.
And then there's some games that like we don't have lines on because I'm in New York. Penn, Cornell, who do you have in that one?
I like Cornell. I think they're going to be a favorite probably by like 2.5, 3.5 if I had to guess. I'll still take them. Penn's also like sneaky. Penn's like a solid team too, and they like to fight. They did just get ruled by St. Joe's, so maybe be careful if you're riding what I'm saying because I can see Penn keeping it close. But I'm going to ride with Cornell. Cursed is hot. Cursed hat on.
I'm going to ride with Penn. I like Penn in this one.
Yeah, we had to break up eventually. We were we had too many in a row there.
It's not all peaches. here's – I don't know what the spread is. It's Notre Dame, Syracuse. I'm going to guess that they're going to have it pretty close. I think this is at
– it's at Notre Dame.
At Notre Dame. I saw a stat.
Yeah.
Let me pull it up really quick to get it
exactly right. I know exactly what you're going to say. I don't know what it is, but I know what you're saying.
Syracuse has lost its last 5 games versus Notre Dame by a combined 52 goals. What's even crazier, this is from Shane Thornton. What's even crazier, Pat Cav has 43 points in these 5 games.
Holy shit.
I have to take Notre Dame. They have done me so well against Cuse in the past. Give me Notre Dame, no matter what it is, even if it's 9.5.
I wonder what – I'm actually trying to get the spread up for us because I'm in Jersey. I like Notre Dame as well there. I just don't – I got to find out what the spread is before I lock that in. I think Notre Dame's going to win 100%. I think that stat sucks for Notre Dame bettors because I could see just – based on like how history of gambling and everything works, like when a team beats a team like 5 times in a row, 6 times in a row, like you're always due to get fucked. However, Notre Dame defense legit, goaltender legit, Kavanaugh brothers spank into the back of net. Faison, however you pronounce his last name, unbelievable. Might be the fastest dude to ever play lacrosse.
Yeah.
So give me Notre Dame. Shout out Chris Collins and the boys down there in South Bend.
Maryland, last game, Maryland at Penn State on Sunday. Penn State -2. I'm taking Penn State -2. I like Malone. I like Penn State. Like I said, I'm in love with this Maryland team. I think Penn State puts the puts them in the ground.
Yeah, I'll go Penn State. Maryland, I don't know. I have no allegiance to Maryland. We've been high on Penn State. They just get gritty wins, score a lot of goals, and I think TJ Malone is disgusting. So there's that.
All right. Do you have a curse of the week as we finish this thing up?
Yeah. I got a quick one for you. Switching from the curse of the week hat for the viewers to the lucky Cabrini hat, We're going honorable mention. CJ Cursed, 4 goals, 4 assists. Congratulations to CJ. Award wouldn't be possible without you. That's how you show up for Cornell. No more of this one-point bullshit. Just keep showing up. Shout out CJ Kirst. No other honorable mentions. I know there's some people out there who want a long list. Some people want to keep it short. We're going one honorable mention. We're going straight into the winner of this week's Curse of the Week. The first ever Division III lacrosse winner, Curse of the Week, Cabrini's own number 27, Connor Jerez, however you say it, Hezzy, you're a legend. 6 goals, 3 assists. Kid makes it rain, plays harder than anyone I've ever played the game with. He's a sophomore. He's got 2 years of eligibility. You'll be seeing his name on a D1 team next year. I will put anything in my fucking bank account, which isn't much, on that. Shout out, Hezzy. If you're a D1 school, call me. I'm his agent. And Cabrini plays tonight, 7, baby. Go Cavs. Lucky hat's on. Lucky hat is on.
You heard it there. Yeah. That's all I got for this episode. Next week, locked and loaded. Going to bring someone on. Going to do it. Going to lock in more. Got to get locked in. It's after this week, it's basically lacrosse mode because it's the final for it. And then I'm just all lax all the time. Yeah. Remember, follow us everywhere. The Crease Dive Dukes, Nestler, whatever you want to do. Follow, subscribe, like, and thank you guys for tuning in. I don't know why you do all the time, but we really appreciate you. Peace out. Love you guys.
Peace.